This morning in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Now, this is part 2. So, to hear part 1, you're going to have to go to the website. And to hear part 3, you're going to have to go to the website, because I'll be doing it in Wake Village tonight. Or you can come to Wake Village at 5 o'clock. I said something either last Sunday or Wednesday night. I need to say again. We don't have two separate churches. We just have our Sunday night service in Wake Village. But there's so much in my heart I can't afford, and I can't keep up with preaching part one here and something different there, and then part two whenever, and then part three of that, and it's just going to flow like it flows into me. It's going to flow out. So that's another reason we have a website, and you won't hear anything that we do in Wake Village on our website, though. You'll have to go to www.spreaker.com, where all of my radio messages are there, and other things such as the Wake Village messages are there. So there's access. If you're hungry enough, you'll find it. I said, if you're hungry enough, you'll find it. Hallelujah. And hopefully we'll see. You know, a lot of folks go to church here in Queen City, and for years thought folks ought to be driving from Texarkana. Well, I think the tables have turned. Kind of got a little quiet on that note. So this is part two. Wednesday night we discussed what it means to take up our cross. I'm not going to get into all that again. I will highlight a few points, but what it means to take up your cross. It's not known in the church today really what that means. You ask somebody tomorrow. Go ahead and do an experiment and ask somebody that's saved and in church every week what it means to take up your cross, and more than likely they're going to begin to tell you, well, the car wreck, the sickness, the loss of job, and they're going to start naming all these catastrophes. That's not your cross. Your cross was the cross of Christ. He died for you. You died with Him. There's only one cross. It's the cross of Christ. The Bible says we were crucified with Him. Amen. Romans 6, 6 and 7. Galatians 2, 20 says we were crucified with Him. Our old man was crucified with Him. There's only one cross. It's the cross He died on. Don't forget, you don't have a different cross. Amen. It's the same cross you're to take up every day. Yeah. Can you say every day? Every day. Amen. It's not a one-time. It was a one-time event for Jesus. It's an everyday event for you. Amen. The people under the old covenant had to have their faith in the sacrifice. The people in the new covenant have to have their faith in the sacrifice. When you hear those Christians say, well, we've gone on beyond the cross, they're in darkness again. They've left. They can't walk with God. If their faith is in anything other than what Jesus did at Calvary, their faith is not legitimate before God. He will not accept it. The speaking of words, the doing of anything, God accepts none of that. He accepts your faith in the heart when it's placed in what His Son did at Calvary alone. That is your daily bread. That is your daily cross, His cross. And I'm not getting all that into that again, but that was part one and what it means to take up our cross. Now we're going to begin what it means. Why do we need a daily cross? Because as you see in the scripture here in Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's any man. And that's daily. That's not a one-time event. That's daily. If you're going to follow Jesus, walk with Jesus, you're going to take up your cross daily, or you're going to be playing religious, man-made, psychological, traditional, unrealistic to heaven ways and not the ways of God. Remember, God says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of that way is death. Amen. And don't forget, this was a powerful point in Wednesday night's sermon. Anything that you're denying yourself of, if the result of that is not to take up your cross, then what you're denying yourself of has really got you enslaved. We used to do stupid things when we were right down the road here several years ago in another gathering. We would say we're going to not put sugar in our tea for a week. We're not going to eat sweets for a week. We're not going to eat meat for a week. And listen, all the things we denied ourselves for a week was never for the purpose of taking up our cross. If the purpose of your denial to anything is not to take up your cross, then you're just playing religious games that God won't honor. Amen. The only thing you are to deny yourself of is what is hindering you to take up your cross. So what is it that's hindering you daily and keeping you from taking up your cross daily? That is what you have to deny yourself from. Is it the kind of music you're listening to? Is it the kind of people that you're still hanging out with? Oh, in the name of telling them the gospel, but you're not doing that. Whatever the hindrance is, you have to deny that to be able to take up your cross. You see, this thing is, Christianity is something you have a part to play in. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Wait a minute. He only draws, you got to come. He doesn't cast a net over you and drag you in. If the gospel is preached, it is a magnet to the soul. It does pull. There is a tug going on there to come. But you have to come. By faith, you have to come. Peter said when the Lord's out there walking on, is that you, Lord? He said, that's me. Peter said, well, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. Jesus didn't throw a net over Peter and drag him across the water. He had to get out of the boat and come. You have to come to Christ. And daily, you have to come the way you first came, by way of the cross. Daily. You don't come to Christ by coming to church. You come to Christ by hanging on to what He did for you at Calvary. You see, the Bible says in the book of Timothy, I believe it's 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to him and said, in the last days there will be perilous times. There will be many that have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof, and you better turn away from them, the Bible says. Amen. Are you with me this morning? But the Bible says in those days, which we are right in the middle of, they're not coming, they're already here. We're right in the middle of that. The Bible says there will be those who are ever learning but not able to come to the truth. What is the truth? Before we get started, we've got to lay the foundation. What is the truth? Some would say it's the Bible. That's right. But what is it that makes the Bible truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. The Bible, only in the context of Jesus and what He did at Calvary, is the truth. Here's how we know that this morning. Jesus said, I am the truth, and then He tells the folks, if you know the truth will make you free. So what is it about the truth, who is Jesus, that will make you free from sin? What He did at Calvary. Not just Jesus, what Jesus did at the cross. So the truth is Christ and Him crucified. And people want to argue all the time, well, brother, no, the Word of God is truth. We understand that, but Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you say you have life, but they are they, the Scriptures are they, which testify of me. The Scriptures testify of Jesus. If when we are studying the Word, hearing the Word preached and taught, if it's not about Jesus, we're wasting time. We're back into the religious, psychological, vain, imaginative, no good for nothing. The Bible is used for all that garbage every week. But the Bible, Jesus said, was about Him. So we better be pointing to Him and what it is about Him that made us come alive from the dead. Hallelujah. And it's what he did at Calvary. Let me say this one more time before we dig in this morning. Jesus only had to go once to the cross. You're to take it up every day. Your faith is to be in what he did every day. You do not go past that. As Christians tell you that, they've been deceived by the devil. The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? Through faith in what he did on the cross. Amen. So here we go with part two this morning. The reasons, and we won't get far in this. There's 9 reasons in my notes. We might make it through 2. And the reason is because you're so hungry and you are true disciples of Christ, you come to a church like this not so you can ease in and ease out and just hear a song or two, because you want to learn the Word of God. You want to learn the Word, not what man thinks, not what the Texas Rangers are doing or the Dallas. You want to learn the Word of God. Amen. You have a love for the truth, and God honors that by giving you more. Jesus said, those who have, more will be given. He's talking about hearing the truth, believing the truth. Amen. Those who have not, what they thought they had will be taken away. Amen. So the first reason that the child of God must continue to take up their daily cross is because Jesus told us to. Amen. We just read it in Luke 9:23. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That is Jesus saying there's only one way you're going to be able to follow me. You're going to have to deny yourself of all the things that would hinder you from doing that. And the only way that you can overcome all those hindrances out there is simply by turning from them and accepting what I did for you at Calvary. Now, this is not a mental thing. This is a heart belief. This is a heart belief. This is when you surrender to this way. Then you no longer listen to the ministers on television or anywhere in the world that's always preaching about money, always trying to teach you how to have a great and successful marriage. Paul didn't do that. If you want a great and successful marriage, and you want everything else in your life to be in order, then you better follow Jesus. He's the only one that can make it happen, and he says you can't follow him without your daily cross. That means a daily dying to yourself and your ways and your plans and your agenda. Amen. When things happen in the classroom, at school, or in the marketplace, or on your job, that's just not the way you had it planned out, the Lord's trying to remind you, it's not about your plan, Curtis. It's about my plan. What makes us mad? What is it that makes us mad all the time? It's when our plans get interrupted. Things, we don't get what we want. Things aren't going the way we want them to. We're very selfish. We're very prideful and arrogant. And if you don't think you are, you're worse than anybody. Amen. Pride is not always the man with, or the woman just walking around looking down on everybody in town if they think they're Betty. Let me tell you another end of that spectrum about pride. Pride is also seen in a woe is me attitude. I call them the big lip club. Nothing's ever gone right for me. I've never had anything. Selfish. Self-centered. Arrogant. The Bible promises that if you will look to Jesus, you will be lifted up out of that mire of selfishness. See, it's the cross that defeated pride. It's the cross that defeated selfishness. See, you and me, before they'd have hung us up there, before they'd have ever dragged us away for that work that Jesus did, we'd have said, ho, wait a minute. He went the duration. He crucified pride, arrogance. He crucified selfishness. See, that's the fruit of the old man. He crucified that. Anything you're struggling with today, he crucified it. You're not going to get delivered from that thing that's hindering you except through the cross. You're not going to get deliverance because somebody lays hands on you. You're not going to get delivered because you go down here to some so-called Christian bookstore and buy a book, 10 Ways to Be Delivered. All you're going to do is get buried up more and deeper in your mess. The cross is all that delivers. Music can't deliver. You doing anything can't deliver. Jesus did it all. That's why he said you got to take up your cross daily and follow me. Amen. I can't help you. I'm just here to preach the gospel. Amen. You can't help yourself. You know, people, we're so, you know what we are. Not so bright. I'm feeling nice this morning. You know how man says God only helps those that helps themselves. That's a lie. We can't help ourselves. He came to die for us because we couldn't help ourselves. All the ridiculous sayings that are out there, such as, today's what you make it. That's a lie. If it's what I made it, it's a mess. But the Bible says, today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. So today is not about what you make it. Today is about what you see Jesus has made it. And if you see what Jesus has made this day, then you'll rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. First one was a simple one. Jesus told us to do so, to take up our cross daily. And his words are spirit and they're life. Plus, we're told that if we love him, we will keep his words and his commandments. You don't love the Lord unless you're obedient. Folks running around living out there in a sinful state, not living according to the Word of God, and people say, oh, they love the Lord. I don't know what's wrong with them. No, they don't. That's a lie. They don't love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. Now, hold on. We all make mistakes. We all do dumb stuff. But I'm talking about people out there just buried up in sin, just buried up in it, ain't got no intentions on living for God, but they'll tell you they love the Lord. They don't love the Lord. Who are you to judge? I'm just telling you what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my word. Amen. Simple. Number two. Wow, we're already at number two. The reason the child of God must continue to take up their daily cross is because through the cross, and the cross alone, is our salvation and daily sanctification made possible. It's God's intention that you live daily in your salvation. We were saved, we are being saved, and we will be utterly saved when we see him in the clouds. Bible teaches we are not perfect yet. We know that. 15 minutes with each other, we find that out. Those of you that are married, you know how imperfect the human race is. If not the human race, your spouse. But you know what God's trying to reveal as you see the imperfections in your spouse? That you're just like them. We all are imperfect. But when we see Jesus, when we see Jesus, the Bible says we're going to be just like him. Then it'll be like the song, what? No more dying, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. That seems almost too good to be true. But I'm promising you, God said it, he will do it. It's coming. Ephesians 2:13 tells us this. But now, talking about saved people here. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were at one time far off were brought near, how? By the blood of Christ. What was it that drew you near? The message of the cross. The blood being shed for you. What's so important about the blood having to be shed for Christians, for the world, is this. Because the life is in the blood. And we lost our life in the Garden of Eden. We became sinners, all of us, and we were found, all people who've ever been born outside of Christ have been born in Adam. And every person who leaves this planet still in Adam, they go to hell. So what we've got to do is find out how to get out of Adam and into Christ. And there's only one way we can do that, and that's through the blood. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:14 that Jesus, through his death, took the power of death away from the devil. Death is separation. Every person that's born into this life is under the dominion of Satan, because we're all born in sin, and sin causes death. We're all born spiritually dead, and Satan is over us. He's ruler over all that are separated through sin from God. But when Jesus laid his life down, an obedient man, never having sinned, shed his pure, spotless blood, that blood alone, God reconciled the world, or all who will believe in him anyway. See, that is the reconciling place. And it's not just a one-time thing for victory. It's a one-time thing to get you in. But victory, what God wants for you, is daily victory. God ain't saved nobody ever just to get them to heaven. God saves his people that they might be a light in a dark world. The Bible says he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous kingdom of light, that we might show forth the praises of the one who called us. So you're not here just to be a churchgoer. You're not here just to tell people you're going to heaven. You're here to live the life with the fruit of folks that are headed to heaven. And you can't do that without a cross. You can't do it without a cross. Amen. So we see initially we were brought near by the blood of Christ. Now I want to show you something in Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. If we can put that on the screen, if you have your Bibles, you can flip over there. Hebrews chapter 10, notice we were brought near to God by the blood of Christ. And now as Christians, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20 tells us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood. How do we approach God? By the blood. I don't care if you've been saved 60 years, you still, to get grace and mercy today from God, it has to be because your faith is in the blood. I don't care how long you've been saved. The only way of approaching God is still through faith in the blood. You got all these folks running around today thinking just because they're saved, they can just march right on up in there. Let me tell you something. We have the right, we have access to God to get grace and mercy anytime we need it, the Bible says, but it's only by the blood. You don't go in because you're confessing words now to get you in. You go in still today like what got you in the first time. Or you ain't going before God. You're going before somebody you're imagining to be your God. And there are many Jesuses in the land today. There are many Jesuses in the land, but there ain't but one that's written about in the Bible that says the only way to the Father to get mercy and grace is through faith in the blood. You're reading it. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Notice that it's the boldness that you have by the blood of Jesus. Your boldness comes from the blood of Jesus. That's why this boldness that comes from faith in the cross, taking up your cross daily, not letting your faith be moved into water baptism or we need to be water baptized. I have to say that. But there are folks, entire denominations out there teaching and preaching that if you're not water baptized, you're not going to heaven. That's a lie. Why is that a lie? Because that's faith in something you're doing instead of what he did alone. You're not going to make it to heaven if your faith is in water baptism. All you're going to have done is got wet, and that's it. You've got millions in this nation. That Church of Christ denomination, I hate it that we know people and love people dearly in that, but they'll tell you to your face, if you're not water baptized, you're not going to heaven. That tells me their faith is in water baptism. That means you're not going. If you think salvation is based on something you do, you're not getting in. You get in by the You get in by the
blood.
That's it. You get in by the blood. You live by the blood. Or you're not in and you can't live. Amen. Now, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That points back to Calvary. You see, this is a gospel preaching church. We are gospel believers. That's not on our website, and then when you come here, you hear something else. No, that is what we preach. We, like the Apostle Paul, have become determined not to know anything else outside of Christ and Him crucified. It is still the power of God, and you have no access to the power of God outside of faith in the cross. You have none. No access without the blood. So we see also, now notice, it's boldness that comes by the blood to enter into the holiest. Listen, Hebrews 4:16 tells us, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What do you have need of in your time of need? Grace and mercy. That's what you got need of. What's that really mean? What is God's grace and God's mercy? God's mercy is Him looking at the blood, looking past your sin. That's the mercy of God. Looking at the blood that was shed on your behalf and counting you not guilty, justified. That's mercy. The grace of God is God at work. The Bible says grace calls you. Grace teaches you. Amen. So who is it that calls you and who is it that's teaching you? God. So the grace of God is God at work. If you didn't get to hear that message back in March, just go to the website and find it. God's grace is God at work. And I promise you, you hear things you probably never heard before that come right out of the Scriptures. God's grace is not a poof and God gave you something. No, God gave Himself on the cross so He could give Himself to live inside of you and work in you and through you and strengthen you and comfort you in your hard seasons. And we all go have them. When we say you need the grace of God, what we're really saying is you need God to work on your behalf. And He will. Every time. You know there's a preacher in the house. So we come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. But the scripture we read previously, that tells us it's only by the blood. It's by the blood. It's not by our confession. You know, we were in a church years ago that just, we preached and we taught that the power was in your confession. There ain't no power in your words. Now there's power there to hurt each other. There's power there to offend each other, but there's no power in your words to move God. The only thing that moves God is what His Son did at Calvary. And your faith in that. You know how I know? Because when you first believed it, God moved. God was moving in somebody to tell you that glad story. And when you believed it, God just moved right on in you. See, when you believe the gospel, God moves in and God goes to work. And as long as you keep believing that, your faith remains in that, God keeps working. He won't work outside of that. You can forget it. You can scratch it. We established what the truth was when we first started, did we not? Christ and Him crucified. The Bible says in Psalms 33:4, all God's works are done in truth. So that tells me if all His works are done in truth, and we know the truth is Christ and Him crucified, God works outside of that, zilch. You mean to tell me, preacher? Now wait a minute, preacher. That's awful narrow there. Why you think Jesus said there'd be few that find it? It's not getting more narrow. It's always been this narrow. You're just now, by the grace of God, seeing how narrow it's always been. And instead of getting perturbed and irritated, frustrated and mad, you need to thank God for letting you see how narrow it is. For letting you be one of the ones that He showed it to, and you're walking on this path. People get mad. Well, he's just trying to say they're the only ones that know. Listen, we're not the only ones that know the truth, but we're one of the very few on the earth that's preaching this truth. Turn the TV on. They'll tell you if you give $100, God will give you $1,000. That's a lie. That's not in your book. There's a guy, somebody's name, I ain't calling his name, he's a big famous preacher. He says he has the power to break generational curses off you. Let me tell you this morning, if you're a saint, a child of God, you have no generational curse on your life. Well, how do you know that, brother? There you go judging again. No, I got a Bible and my God's word is the judge. And he says, when you were saved, you were made a new creation, and all things passed away, and now all things are new. Your salvation hadn't got anything to do with your mom and daddy or your great-grandpappy or Aunt Bessie and Uncle Joe. Your salvation has only to do with the blood of Jesus. So we were brought near by the blood. If we take our daily cross up, that means keeping our faith in what Jesus did. Some people hear this kind of preaching, and they say, well, my faith's always been in the cross. Oh, has it? Then why are they still sitting under preachers not preaching it? When your faith is in the cross, you're looking for somebody preaching what my faith is in. Amen. I'm telling you, the greatest persecution in the days ahead are going to come from the religious people, not the world. People like you are going to be hated. You got people like Oprah Winfrey out there telling people the dumbest thing a man could ever believe is to think there's only one way to God. Let me tell you something, that woman is a bad person. She's a prophet. She may not call herself a prophet, but millions listen to her and ride on what she says when they got a Bible probably sitting on their coffee table. You better get in it. So we see here that in Ephesians 2:13 that we were brought near to God by the blood. That means through faith in what he did at Calvary. And now let's look at 1 Peter 1:5. Remember this number two, what we're talking about is through the cross, and the cross alone is our initial salvation and our daily salvation. The Bible calls sanctification. You are to be growing. Let's just get real blunt here. We don't get blunt very often, but let's just be blunt. If you're following Jesus, you are being changed. If you're not being changed, you can tell everybody in this whole region you're following Jesus, but you're lying to yourself. And it ain't about church. It ain't about, well, I'm going to church every week. So, why would you say that, preacher? Don't you want everybody in your church? Do I really answer that? I'm kind of like the old black preacher man, E.V. Hill, that said, I want them all saved, but I don't want them all in my church. If you're following Jesus, you are being changed. Church can't change you. Your parents can't change you. Your kids can't change you. Your boss can't nobody change you but Jesus. But you can't follow him to be changed without a cross. You have to take your cross up daily. Jesus said in the prayer that he gave men to pray in Matthew 6, I don't call it the Lord's Prayer. It's not. I know we've called it that for years. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's what he told us to pray. His prayer is found in the Garden of Gethsemane. His prayer is found in John 17 when the Lord was praying. He gave us this prayer. And right in the middle of Matthew 6, the prayer he gave his disciples, who we are to pray, he says, give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't mean bologna and spam, folks. He is the bread that came from heaven. And if you are partaking of Him, which He says in John chapter 6, you can't do unless you eat His flesh and drink His blood, which means your faith is in the cross. You have no life within you. So let's put it this way this morning. Let's keep it kindergarten level. That's the way I have to have it. No cross, no daily bread. No daily bread, no discipleship. No discipleship, no salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. Some folks get mad when they hear the Bible taught. Amen. Why do you think Jesus stood on that day after He'd worked many, many miracles, fed the thousands, but yet He comes to this one day, He stands, and He says, if you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you shall die. You have no life within yourself. They all went home. When He began to talk about what He came to do, they went to the house. Do we not live in that time period right now? People will gather all over the world every week, every Sunday and Wednesday, just to hear something that makes them feel good or to hear some good music. But when you start talking about why Jesus came, they just soon stay home and watch some football or golf or go fishing or whatever. They will always let the hungry have determined to keep coming no matter what. See, it's called denying myself. Don't come giving me all your excuses after church. I ain't listening. God ain't either. I'll just smile at you. Well, you're really not trying to build a church, are you, Pat? No, because I can't. Jesus said He'd build it. Amen. Just gets quiet when you say certain things. It needs to be quiet because you need to think about it, where you are. Amen. Well, I just couldn't sit and listen to Him every week. Well, I just hate that for you. Because I know who you're going to probably end up sitting under and listening to. Somebody that just makes you feel so good about yourself. Just hug you and give you money. Come see you. But they're not going to preach the cross to you. You know why they're not? Because the devil is running what's going on there. The devil is glad there's a church on every corner in America this morning. If 80% of all America claims it's Christian, then what is wrong with our nation? You know what's wrong with our nation? 80% of it is not Christians. And the part of it that is Christian does not know how to live for God. They know how to show up and hear good music, how to show up and be seen by other people, but they do not know how to walk this life, to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow Jesus. This is not a time period that we're living in right now where denial of yourself is popular. It's gimme, gimme, everything I want, and don't tell me nothing. That's how we are. I ain't talking about that. That's how we are. Just give me everything, but don't tell me anything. You see, the cross delivers from that attitude. I said the cross delivers from that attitude. Now, as we begin to try to close this morning, I'm going to try to quit about 12. We established that in Ephesians 2:13, we're brought near to God by the blood. And we see in Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 4 that we, as Christians, children of God, we continually can come to the throne to get mercy and grace, but it's only by the blood. It's not by anything else. Just because you came to church today is not getting you anything from God. Nothing. Water baptism don't get you anything from God. Why? Because that's something you're doing. I know what I'm talking about. For years, I, as a minister, And you've heard this 1,000 times when people would walk the aisle crying their eyes out, hearts broken. I've lost my job. I'm about to lose my family. Tell me how to get deliverance from this, whatever. And then they'd name it. And I would say to them, and I'd be crying with them, heartbroken for them. And I would begin to say, well, are you in church every week? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you giving tithes and offerings? Are you doing? You know what I help do? Destroy them. Because instead of pointing to them to the one thing God did that would deliver them from everything and fix everything broken, I was pointing to them things they need to do. The Bible says in Romans 7:5, it's the law that stirs up or puts sin nature in motion. And what's the law? It's not just the law of Moses. It's the law of me doing anything. If I think I can go out and feed the hungry today, and because of that, God's going to deliver me from smoking or cussing or whatever you want to put out there, you can forget it. He never delivers us based on anything we do. And the people who disagree with what I just said are those who are going to stand before Him on Judgment Day and say, didn't I cast out devils in your name? Didn't I do many wonderful works in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? And He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Because it was always about their doing instead of their faith in the cross, so He could work in them and through them and keep on doing what He did when He was on here on the earth to begin with. You see, it's not about what we go and do. It's about what He continues to be able to do through us if we'll deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Listen, we're following Him. It's the fruit of Him. We're not following Curtis. We're not following Crossway Church. We're following Jesus. But it can't be done without a cross. Can't be done. If any man come after me, he must take up his cross. Deny himself. Take up his cross every day. There's things coming against every one of us in this room. You watching by internet, hearing this, however you're hearing it. Every one of us, there are things daily that would come against us and try to make us lay that cross down and do things in our own power. Or put things before what God wants us to be found playing a part. We need to wake up, folks. Eternity is forever. We've been given, what, 70 to maybe 100 years? Let me just go ahead and tell you this. When you get to heaven, the tryouts are over. There's no another set of tryouts when you get to heaven. Your place of ranking, the all that you do and all that you will be in heaven, your treasures, or your position there is going to be based on what you do now. Let me say it better. It's going to be based on what you let Him do in you and through you now. You see, the Bible doesn't say He's laying up treasure for you. It says lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. The Bible says he who's faithful with a little will be made ruler over much. It ain't about wanting to just be ruler when we get there. It's about seeing how good He's been to us. How much He loved us when we hated Him. When we was running from God all those years, He was running behind us trying to embrace us and let us see how much He loves us. That's what we're talking about this morning. A God, a Father in heaven that loved us so much He gave His Son, and a Son that loved us so much He came and gave Himself, and the Holy Spirit who is here today loves you so much He keeps giving you this story. It's all about this story of Calvary. It's all about the shed blood of Jesus. It's not about you taking up your cross. It's about you keeping your faith in the cross He bare for you. That is taking up your cross. We'll even twist this message and because we're so selfish and put the big word you in there. You take up your cross. And it'd be all about us. Oh, we take up our cross. Key word in there is cross. Cross. It's just like faith and grace. They're both gifts. Not just grace. Faith is a gift. You received it when you believed the story you heard about Jesus and the cross. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. God never saw anything in you worth saving. You hear people say it all the time. Well, God must have saw something in me worth saving. He didn't. You know what he saw when he looked down on a sinful, hateful, wicked, idolatrous world full of iniquity? He said, I see a people that I love. That's what he saw. A people he loved. He didn't see anything in this rotten thing worth saving, but he came for me anyway. And when he found me and got a hold of me, he erased everything. And he did it. I didn't play a part in it. The Bible says in the first chapter of Hebrews that he by himself purged us from our sins. He loves you this morning. And if you love him, you'll deny yourself of anything that's hindering you taking up your cross. When Jesus walked by his disciples and said, follow me, they dropped their nets and took off. That's what he's longing for today. People will just hear him say, follow me, and drop your net and take off. Doesn't mean abandon your family and just push them out. It means put him first and foremost. You can have a husband, you can have a wife, you can have 40 kids. It don't matter to God. He's blessed, but you got to put him first. So, we're going to make it to 1 Peter 1:5. Not only do we initially come and be brought near by the blood of Christ, but 1 Peter 1:5 tells us that we're kept by the power of God through faith. How are we kept? Not in some mystical, magical something. We're kept by the power of God. What does the Bible define the power of God as? What Christ did at Calvary. For the preaching of the cross is the power of God to us who are being saved. Oh, it's foolishness, God says to those who are perishing. There were people this week at work that said, you're talking about the cross, but what about the resurrection? And people have even left this church through the past 10 years we've been a church and said they don't hardly ever talk about the resurrection. They don't focus on the resurrection. And I have to remind them, Paul did not say the preaching of the resurrection is the power of God. He did not say, when I was among you, I didn't want to know anything outside the resurrection. He said, Christ and him crucified. Why is that? Because at the cross, Christ redeemed all who will believe. He sanctified all who will believe. There is where he defeated the devil, on the cross, not in the resurrection. The resurrection was the proof that all sin had been atoned for. Had one sin been too big? Had one sin been too big? Oh, this guy, man, he's raped 400 women and he's a pervert. He's abused 1,000 kids and he sold another 10,000 in slavery. If he comes to Christ, the blood is enough. If he comes to Christ, the blood is enough. He's as clean as me and you are. Hey, he's as clean as we are. Man may never forget him. Man may never give him a place in society, and he may be locked up for 100 years till Jesus comes, but I got news for you. He's clean as anybody that's a believer in the blood. Makes no difference. God doesn't look at the past and rate us. He looks on a hill called Calvary. We're only kept by the power of God through faith. That means you're kept by that daily cross. Your faith in the cross. You're kept. You're being kept through that. Amen. You're being kept through that. Bible here tells us you're kept by the power of God through faith. Unto salvation. There's the change. If your faith is real, you're being changed. I'm closing. Let me close my Bible and prove it. I like keeping things simple. For years we were in churches that preached way up here. And when you'd leave, you'd be like, I guess he's just so spiritual and I got a lot of room for growth, I guess. Let me tell you something about the gospel, my friends. If it's preached, you can get it. If you'll just simply believe it. But the devil always is busy today doing what he did at first, trying to get you to think There's more and another way to get it. There is more. There's always more, but there's only one way to get it. There's only one way to get it. If you're waiting on God to use you, if you're waiting on God to heal this or to mend that, or to go to the cross. Go to the cross. God will keep you there. You know what He'll do there? He'll give that heart of yours that's broken peace. You can't fathom how you can have this peace in the midst of such tragedy. You can't fathom how that God has given you this and God has done.